The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, the Irish Times carried this story this morning of a Catholic primary school which had refused to give a child a homework pass in common with all of his fellow students in his class because he was one of two students who hadn't gone to a religious ceremony. Michael Nugent, Chair of Atheist Ireland, the significance of this story and how widespread is this practice?
Well, the background is that schools are finally realising that they can't force children into the religious education class. And by the way, Atheist Ireland has an education website called teachdon'tpreach.ie, and if any parents are in a situation where they need to have their they can download a letter with their constitutional and Education Act rights and show the school to have their rights vindicated. But what the schools are doing now is they're putting in almost like a whack-a-mole of different things to try and make it difficult for people to exercise the right to opt out for religion. They might call them in for a meeting and quiz them about their religious beliefs. They tell them that they collect the child from school during religious class. They make them sit at the back of the class. They won't allow them to do homework at the back of the class, but they'll give you extra homework if you don't attend maths. And that's not what homework is for, and it's not what maths is for. And if you think about it, if some children don't have to do this homework, then that homework is not necessary for their education. So they're punishing children by giving them unnecessary homework for not practicing a religion other than their own. It's absolutely disgraceful.
But is this widespread?
It depends on the school. We've had situations brought to our attention, such as we work with the Ahmadi Muslim Community of Ireland and the Evangelical Alliance of Ireland. We had a case in Galway a few years ago where a Muslim girl had ash put on her forehead on Ash Wednesday. In a Catholic school. We've had Muslim children and atheist children sitting together outside Mass when they're brought to Mass. The Catholic Church use they're actually state-funded schools and national schools, but the Catholic Church use those schools to evangelise, and when they're prevented from doing it in one way, they'll try to find another way to do it.
OK, but hold on. According to the Irish Times this morning, this school, Yellow Firs National School in County Meath, engaged in what is described as positive behaviour, or encouraged children who engage in positive behaviour, such as participating in the communion choir, with rewards for doing so, rewards such as getting a homework pass.
Yeah, but that's not the purpose of a school, and it's not the purpose of going to a religious service and preparing to take part in what is effectively a mass at communion. If you think about it the other way around, if a religious parent had to send their child to a school, and the school's version of inclusivity and building community was to say, this school teaches everybody that there's no God, and if you're a religious person, we give you some sort of rewards if you come along to occasions that promote the idea that there's no God. Religious parents would immediately realise that's wrong. Now, the way that these courses breach human rights, it's not only in terms of open evangelisation, but what they do is, even at their best, they teach morality through religion. If you imagine if a religious parent was told this school would be teaching morality through atheism, they'd go, that's outrageous, that's not what schools are for. And so it's a constant struggle to try to find the next way and the next different way that the schools are trying to avoid just doing the obviously right thing of saying, we're running our school according to our ethos, but if you don't have that religious ethos, then we will respect that and we will allow you to attend school, as is your constitutional right and your right under the Education Act, without taking part in these activities.
David Quinn, columnist of the Sunday Times, head of the OWN Institute, is with us as well. Is this sort of a perverse incentive here that, OK, you're rewarded for going and doing something extra, which just happens to coincide with the Catholic ethos of a school, but if you don't want to do it, you don't get the reward, which effectively is a punishment?
Well, I mean, it's a pity the school isn't here to talk about exactly what happens. I mean, it talks about if they take part in this communion choir and practice with a communion choir, then they don't have to do homework. So what's not clear to me from the report is the communion choir practice done out of hours. So in other words, the children taking part in communion choir practice, because they're hanging around afterwards and maybe even coming in on a Saturday morning, then they don't have to do homework because they have less time to do homework. And do they do the same thing if we say there's a school concert that has nothing to do with RE class? So I'd like to see, you know, the systems, the school systems of incentives across the board for out-of-school activities and whether it's restricted to religious events like communion, and also how it compares to what other schools do, including non-Catholic, multi-denominational or interdenominational schools. What do they do when a child is doing out-of-school activities? Do they say you don't have to do homework, but obviously the children not taking part in that after-school activity do have to do homework because they're at home? So I'd like to see the full context of this, basically.
OK, is there also an argument that if a child goes to a religious denomination school, it has to abide by the rules of that school, and that if there are people who are atheists, serve a different religion, they should send those children to a different school?
Well, I mean, the school has to show maximum flexibility, in my opinion. I also, and I've been saying this for years, needs to be far more schools that provide for people who don't want a faith-based education for the children, whether it be Catholic or Protestant or whatever the case may be. Far too many of the schools still remain under Catholic patronage. We don't have enough multi-denominational or non-denominational schools in the country. There needs to be far more of that. But then the schools that remain Catholic do need to show maximum flexibility on points like this. But again, it's not clear to me exactly what was happening in this case.
OK, Michael Nugent, what about that point to you that, you know, if a parent decides to send a child to a Catholic school, how can they object if the school, for the benefit of all the other students, insists on a Catholic education?
Well, under the Constitution, if a school is receiving state funding, which these schools are, they have an obligation under the Constitution to not affect prejudicially the right of a child to attend the school without attending religious instruction. So they have to facilitate the non-Catholic children under the Constitution. Saying that you can go to another school is just unrealistic if there isn't another school in the area. You're essentially saying either you have to homeschool your child or you have to send your child miles away and away from their friends who live in the locality. Children would like to go to school with their friends. And when this issue came up at the European Court of Human Rights, if you may remember the Louise O'Keefe case, a girl who was abused, she's a woman now, she was abused as a girl in school in Cork, and she sued the state over it. And the state made that point effectively that she chose to go to that school, that the school was run by the Catholic Church and she should be dealing with the Catholic Church rather than the state. And what the European Court of Human Rights found is that this right to attend another school or to homeschool was just illusory. That rights have to be rights that are vindicatable in practice, and that if the state is only funding one school in your local area, then the state is obliged to ensure that that school is run in a way that respects everybody rather than just the denomination that is running it.
Okay. But what about the point that David has made about the fact that we need more multi-denominational schools? But often the problem is that for many schools, when the offer has been made to take away the Catholic management or whatever, communities haven't taken up the opportunity to replace the Catholic school.
Yeah, well, when you say communities aren't given the opportunity, there's a big difference when you're in school. When your child is going through school, effectively parents are being told, without information on what the alternative is going to be in many cases, to potentially disrupt their child's education. But if the same parents are asked, independently of that specific circumstance, the vast majority want more multi-denominational or non-denominational schools. So it's up to the state, because the state is ultimately responsible, even if it gives over the running of the schools to private patron bodies, the state is ultimately responsible for a smooth transition rather than leaving it in the hands of vested interests.
Okay, David Quinn, how do we get to a situation, though, where we actually have this greater choice available to people?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that schools and the kind of shape and diversity of our school system must be a response to what parents want. And then the money, the taxpayers' money, has to follow the parents and their wishes. So we need a diverse education system. We don't want to replace a Catholic system with a fully state-run system, which is one-size-fits-all, because that would kind of replace what we have now, which is more or less a one-size-fits-all system. So parents must be in the driver's seat of this and what they want. But You see, you were saying there, Matt, that in places like Portmarnock and Kinsale and what have you, when they tried to divest some of the schools, there was parental resistance, possibly because they didn't really understand what the replacement was going to be. It's a bit like with Brexit. OK, I'm for Brexit, but what type of Brexit? OK, so I'm for divestment, but what's going to replace it? And then they don't know anymore and then they begin to resist. So I think what has to happen is when a school is earmarked for divestment or as a possibility for it, the local priest needs to assert leadership. The local politicians also need to get involved. The local bishop needs to get involved. And they need to sell the idea of divestment to the local parents. And that doesn't appear to me to have happened in those schools in North Dublin. So that needs to happen. There needs to be a much better sales job done of the need for divestment.
But David, is the answer perhaps that all religious instruction is done as an optional after-hours service in all schools? That if the state takes management of the sort of 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and then it's available to the premises are available to those who want to organise religious instruction for pupils afterwards, and then there's no linking to homework or anything else like that. It strictly comes down to an issue of choice by parents for their children.
Well, you see, if somebody wants a Catholic ethos school for their children or a Protestant ethos school for their children, or whatever the case may be, and if there's enough demand for that, enough realistic demand for that, then the state must step in and provide the money for that. So, for example, in Britain, about a third of state-funded schools are primary level or church-run, mainly by the Church of England. England is a far more secular country even still than we are. And yet these church-run schools in England remain extremely popular in a very secular society.
But are they privately funded?
No, they're not. That's the point. And they are state-funded. So a third of state-funded primary schools in England are church-run, mainly by the Church of England. It's not a bit uncommon for public funds to go to Christian or faith schools. In France, for example, state money even there goes to Catholic schools to pay for the teachers. And then the parents, you know, top up whatever is necessary to meet the other running costs of the school. America is one of the very few countries in the Western world where absolutely no state money goes to church schools. It's very unusual. It's very common for state money to go to church schools if it's a response to parental demand. And that has to be the number one thing.
Michael Nugent, parents want. Your response to that?
Well, parental demand sounds fine in theory, but when the Oireachtas Education Committee a few years ago was looking at the admissions to schools bill, what it concluded, and this is the point that Atheist Ireland was making too, it concluded that multiple patronage and multiple ethos leads to segregation and inequality in schools. Because you cannot have parental choice for every parent in every locality to have a school of their choice.
You'd have but you want one size fits all, though. You want one size fits all. I said you want one size fits all. I mean, again,
no, what I want, David, is a human rights based education.
So do I.
Okay, then we're both on the same page. So, under human rights.
That
law,
means respecting parental choice.
Under human rights law, can I finish the point, David?
Yeah.
Under human rights law, the state is obliged to respect everybody's rights, majorities and minorities, and one of the principles of human rights law is that it exists to protect individuals from the tyranny of the majority. So you can't have a situation where your constitutional and human rights depend on what your neighbours think. If a majority of your neighbours Catholic, then you get one kind of school. If your majority of your neighbours are a different religion, you get a different type of school.
Yeah, but
schools
you want
have to cater for everybody.
But you want to take away from parents the ability to send their children to a faith-based school unless it is privately funded and fee-paying, which would remove the option from most parents.
All right, we have to leave
schools.
It there. David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Times and head of the Own Institute, and Michael Nugent, chair of Atheist Ireland. Thank you both for joining us. Listener said schools should abolish homework. If there wasn't homework given, would this be an issue? Well, the particular issue we started with might not be, but I think there would still be plenty of issues. And I love this one that's from Joe, who says, "Oh, Matt, back off. You know that over 90% of the schools are Catholic and many parents have absolutely no other option in the area. Your Catholic bias shows true again. I haven't had one like that thrown at me for a while." David Quinn has started laughing.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.